Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair in the Gene Voss studio on the voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the frequency modulated band, and broadcasting live, streaming live all over the world to Captain Joe's people from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other. I have had a glorious week. So good that I'm going to take this whole broadcast in fulfillment of my mission to make all of us who gather once a week with me, in fulfillment of my mission to make all of us who give me half hour of your time to feel better about yourself and about the world in which we live. So my greetings today go out to all of my new listeners. And there are several, and we're going to talk about that just a little bit as I get a little bit farther into the broadcast. And I have to move along in a smart and seamanlike fashion because I have so much to cover today, and all of it, almost all of it, is good. So greetings to all of my new listeners all over the world, and in particular those that came to me from my tours out at Point Robinson Light. The binnacle list today, for the most part, is showing only improvement. My friend Jay is doing better every week. And in fact, I had a signal from him this morning in which he said that he might well be able to come out and be with me for my tours this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday is my last tour day for the regular season. After that, I will do only booked and arranged and reserved tours. But next Sunday will be my last day, and it will be a ceremonial day because I'm going to use it to have a little bit of a ceremony in which I thank everybody who has come and spent time with me in my tours out at the light, because it is there that I have acquired some new listeners and some wonderful things happened this last week. The other people on the binnacle list, my master chiefs and my crusty old warrant officers in particular, who occupy places on the Coast Guard Channel, the Coast Guard Channel community, and it is to them that I have are sending special and strengthening messages so that your improvements continue to happen, so that you are back on full duty and not leaving the binnacle list in any except the approved way. All of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list are in the palm of my hand. You go forth for this following week, this next week, with conviction of improvement so that I can remove you from the binnacle list at the appropriate time after you follow the instructions of your medical practitioners such that you will continue to improve and will continue to depart the binnacle list in the way that is approved by your captain and not one in which I must perforce be a part of the flag-folding ceremony. The week was one that was full of good things. It was a glorious week. I love that word, glorious. I use it often, and every time I do, I think in particular of my granddaughter, Glory Jane. It was a glorious week. And it was a glorious week for a number of reasons. One of them was that I had signals and communications from a number of people in furtherance of things which have been reported on this broadcast, on this channel. And so in order to make sure, I've got my checklist right here in front of me. So I'm going to run the checklist to make sure that I don't miss anybody or miss anything. And then if I have a little bit of time left at the end of my broadcast time, I have a couple of stories that are either an amplification of things that we've talked about before or are new things that I want to add and which I will be following and reporting back to you. So not in chronological order, but in order in which I have them on my checklist. I had a signal from my Coast Guard family here on the island, Captain Ron and Laura. And he had sent me a note about a classmate, academy classmate of his, who had made the Northwest Passage in a small boat. And the signal from Ron was one which will allow me to connect with his classmate Al and hopefully get them, when I say hopefully, actually, I always make those things happen, so it's not hopeful. It's going to happen. Al and Ron and I and their ladies, hopefully, are going to connect together on at least one broadcast in which we talk about making the Northwest Passage in a vessel smaller than a large icebreaker. So we're going to make this happen. And to Ron in particular, do I thank him for making this connection. We will put it together. We will make it happen. Ron had also sent me a signal after my broadcast with Captain, Dr., and Professor Brigham, in which he appreciated the information that came and what a good broadcast it was. And that is also true from my... Here's how we're all interconnected. In the signal from my friend Jay reporting his continued improvement and his hope that he will be able to join me out at Point Robinson Lighthouse this coming Sunday, he also thanked me for the broadcast with Captain Dr. Professor Brigham. And so that is telling me that we are providing information which is available no place else, and certainly with Captain Brigham, from a person no other person can do like Captain Brigham can. And so what this tells me is that another broadcast from Captain Brigham and myself would be welcome. So I will make that so. So many thanks to Ron and Laura, to Captain Weston and Laura, and their allowing me to make this contact with his academy classmate to put this whole thing together. And it will happen. I will make it so. On this, do you have my hand? My Ingham project moved forward in a dramatic and very important and significant way this week. My friend and colleague and brother administrator on the Coast Guard Channel community, Joe Leonard, had sent a message to his boss at the shipyard in which he works, who is an academy classmate of the head of the Coast Guard office in Panama City, where the next Ingham is under construction. She is the third in a line which starts with the new Coast Guard cutter Argus. The next one is Spencer. Spencer is, of course, named for one of the secretaries of the Treasury, and there was a Coast Guard cutter, Spencer, a sister to my Ingham. See how we're all of us connected in some very interesting, amazing ways. Out of that contact came to me during the week a long and very informative signal from a civilian employee of the Coast Guard and Coast Guard headquarters in the acquisition directorate. And he gave me not only a contact point for my removing a piece of steel from my Ingham and transporting it with suitable ceremony to the next Ingham and having it welded into her, but a commitment that we are indeed going to make that happen. The question and the problem is one of timing. Timing in so far as the next Ingham is the third and last that is going to be constructed by Eastern Shipbuilding in Panama City, Florida. And timing such that because she is the third and the first one, Argus, has not yet been delivered, not yet delivered and commissioned and about her father's business, Spencer is even less far along, my Ingham even less far along. So the timing that we're talking about has to do also with my longevity. I have instructed my medical team to make absolutely certain that no matter what we have to do, that I remain alive and upright and traveling to be there when we make this installation. In the meantime, a very interesting gentleman has now written to me, and I had another signal from him this morning in which we carried the project even further. Those of you who have sailed with me in Ingham, and I know there are several of you out there, can now be reassured that this project is indeed going to happen. We never had any doubts that it would happen. It was just the how, and the timing. Well, the how is becoming clearer and clearer as each day marches forward from its arising of the sun in the east until evening stars in the west. It is the timing of it that is going to be a challenge. But for those of you who are my Ingham shipmates and all of you, all of Captain Joe's people who have sailed in Ingham but may not have sailed with me, know that this one is going to happen as well. We just have to make sure that I remain mobile, capable, coherent, and upright to preside over the removal of the steel from my Ingham and the welding of that steel into the new Ingham. And again, on all of this, do you have my hand? It is going to happen, and it is going to happen in a smart and seamanlike fashion, and the gentleman from the acquisition directorate in Coast Guard headquarters, he and I are going to work on this together. We're going to make it so. In my first contact signal to him, I took the liberty of using the term Coast Guard acquisition directorate to tell him also that I was Healy Sea Daddy, and that I am so distressed at the way that the acquisition of the first of the polar icebreakers is going. And I delivered myself of a number of groups on this subject in this first signal. In his reply, which came to me today, he refrained from making any comment on that subject. So, that has earned him further discussion on doing better at getting the first of the new icebreakers, new Coast Guard icebreakers, into the fleet. Further information will be forthcoming on that subject. Last week, I did my Sunday tours, and I had a glorious day. And I'm going to run through, and I've got to really move along here, I can see, because I want to mention the Heritage Museum and the contact that I had with the new executive director, Greta. And we are going to work together on a couple parts of that. And I have been giving her information about the museum at Scott Poer Research Institute, which is my intellectual home in the University of Cambridge. So, Greta, we are going to further develop that contact and further develop that information to the benefit of all of us. The people that I had come to know through the tours are my new friend Emma, and Emma has a 1986 4Runner that she rallies out in the desert. And I took the opportunity to tell her my 4Runner story, and someday I will tell it on this broadcast. Emma is in London right now, and I'm going to set up for her to be given the inside tour at Scott Poer Research. My friend Anastasia of the Kuma Cloth and Emma have now been connected. Anastasia has sent me a parcel which included some Kuma Cloth and also sent a parcel to Emma with Point Robinson Kuma Cloth. And I bring up Anastasia because the note from Anastasia, which came with her Kuma Cloth sending, said that she considered me to be a lighthouse for many other people. And I've never thought of myself that way. I always think of myself as just being Captain Joe, who leads all of Captain Joe's people. So another contact that came to me during the week was about the Steamship Historical Society, of which Ingham was the ship of the year for them a couple of years ago. And I had sent in my registration for their annual meeting, which is coming in November in Queen Mary. And I had also sent a small donation to help with the work. I am a member of the Captain's Circle with the Steamship Historical Society. But the little donation that I added in with my registration fee, I got a lovely thank you note from Amy, who is the membership coordinator, and that opened up a dialogue between the two of us. And so we're looking forward to meeting together in November when I go to that particular meeting in Queen Mary. And so, Amy, for any of you who are interested in ship history, the Steamship Historical Society of America, of which I've been a member for something like 50 or 60 years, a long time, many years, many, many years, is highly recommended. I had in my week, I met some wonderful new friends during my tour time. One was a whole family that was there, and they had as guests from Long Beach, California. And so we talked a little bit about my going into and out of Long Beach with a couple of ships under my command, and also had the opportunity just to talk about island life. It was just a wonderful contact, and I look forward, and I hope that those people, that family is listening. They said they would, but not all people are able to. And in any case, along with that, I always have water down for dogs, and I have healthy dog treats from my friend Megan, who makes them, and then I get them from her. She lives in Traverse City, Michigan, which was one of my places of my part of my command in when I was in the when I was the group commander in the Sioux and in the Great Lakes. And so this during this last tour time, I had a family came in and they had a large dog. And so the dog and I were communicating. I gave the dog some of Megan's healthy dog treats, and the dog put its paw out to shake my hand, and we missed the shake, and the dog scraped along my arm a little bit such that he took off the first layer of epidermis, and there was a little blood on my arm, and I patched it up from the damage control plugging in patching kit. And all of you damage controlmen out there, Navy and Coast Guard damage controlmen, will know exactly what I'm talking about. So I patched it up, and there was a little blood around the edges. The next tour group included a group of children, and I always have a poster, and I put a stamp on the poster, and when they come to get the stamp, The ceremony is that they say, Captain Joe, would you please put your stamp on my poster? And I do that, and then after they have gotten the stamp, they say thank you, Captain. And so one young lady went through the ritual, both of asking politely and then thanking me for it. And she saw on my arm a three-year-old girl. Little girl. She saw on my arm the patch and the blood. And she put her hand on my arm. By this time I was sitting in the captain's chair, so my head was down at the three-year-old level. And she put her hand on my arm. The two softest things in the whole world are my cat friend Finnegan, who lives next door with Michelle, she of the cat vending machines all over the magical Isle of Vashon. Finnegan, whenever I come into the house, Finnegan comes over and he puts his head up close to mine to make his number, and we exchange greetings, and I always pet him, and he's one of the two softest things in the world. The second thing is the hand of a three-year-old girl that has not yet gotten into the Play-Doh. When this little girl came up, and she was very concerned, and she put her hand on my arm, and she said, how did you get that blood? I got that blood because I became a little over-enthusiastic with a large dog, and the dog scratched me, not because it was angry or anything. It just was, we didn't quite make the right contact. Captain, does it hurt? No, darling, it doesn't hurt. It feels just fine. I've plugged it and patched it, and we're doing just fine. It just doesn't look too good. Little bloody. And she said, is it going to be all right? Yes, dear, of course it's going to be all right. I've practiced medicine without a license. I know how to do plugging and patching. And so we parted on that high note. And my big mistake was, what I should have said was, now raise your right hand and repeat after me. And then after having administered the oath, I would have said, in 15 years, a Master Chief Bosun's mate is going to come and find you, and he is going to say, all right, it is Leah, for that was her name. It is time for you to go to Cape May. You remember the contract that you and Captain Joe executed together 15 years ago? And she's going to say, well, I will only go with Captain Joe. And the Master Chief is going to have to say, well, he's crossed the bar, and so you're going to have to fulfill the contract through me. But I didn't do that. I didn't think about executing that oath while she was there. But she's just the kind of person that we need in my service. Somebody who already had figured out that life includes service to people and to ideas that are bigger than oneself. And she is going to be a great asset to some organization and to some group of people. And she was just part, though, of making my day, that day. So, new friends, a family that brought other people to be with me. The little girl who was so concerned about the captain bleeding out on the deck of Point Robinson Lighthouse, not going to happen. And then another mother and daughter came in, and they wanted to talk about, and we did talk about, why we still have lighthouses and how they work when we no longer, how they work even if your own particular electronic navigation system doesn't work. And the daughter, a lovely young lady, she said, my boyfriend and I have just bought a 23-foot Catalina. And I said, I'll bet in that Catalina you have electronic charts, right? And she said, yes, Captain, that's exactly right. We have electronic charts. And I said, do you have paper charts? No, Captain, we don't have paper charts. And that earned her lecture number 43. Number 43 is the one that talks about how you still need to have paper charts or paper charts in preference to electronic charts and to keep them corrected and how you do that. And so she endured lecture number 43. And at the end, I said, now, do you have a magnetic compass? Well, yes, Captain, we do. Do you know how to adjust it? No, Captain, I don't know how to adjust it. But now, after listening to that one, and I don't want to hear lecture number 18, that's the one on adjusting magnetic compasses. And I said, good girl, you're getting the idea. And I forgot, this is the second thing I forgot that day. I should have mentioned, get yourself a copy of Bowditch, the most recent edition of Bowditch, originally published in 1803, is available to you by going to, yep, get it right, Amazon, and you can buy a copy, and it will teach you how to adjust that magnetic compass and how to take care of those paper charts. And I said, and you go to Captain's Nautical Supply out in Ballard. That's where your captain gets his paper charts. They print them off of an electronic source from NOAA. And so I have saved those two lives, and three actually, because mom and young lady and her boyfriend, they go out on this Catalina together, and they are going to now use only paper charts. The last couple that I had was a naval aviator and his young wife, who is about to have her baby in October. And she is being placed on the binnacle list because we want them to go through the darkness of childbirth to the sunlight of having a new one, a new naval aviator. We had just a delightful conversation, that young couple and the captain. The book this week is called Good Night, Coast Guard. It is a book for children. And it has a wonderful storyline about the Coast Guard and about how it saves lives and breaks ice and all sorts of things. And I was able to read this book to my great-granddaughter, Isla. And I was able, as we went through all of the pages, I said, I have done those. I have done that. All of those things. Highly recommended as a great child's book. And even more do I highly recommend the idea that you sit down with your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or any young people that you have and read to them from all kinds of books. Right now, I am reading personally Thomasina by Paul Gallico. Picked it up out of my own library. I don't know how it got there. I do know how it got there. It was one of my mother's books. And it has her signature inside the flyleaf. Well, there's so much more that I wanted to talk about, but I covered a lot of ground, and I think I got to all of the people and all of the events that were most important to me during the last week. And now I have to tell you that, once again, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And I am even more than ever on station and watching properly. I love you all. This is your Captain Joe, and you're all in the palm of my hand. We'll meet here once again next week, and I will get caught up if I missed anybody or missed any event.